Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. I'm Mike Minotti, and with me is Edge Guy Minotti. How's it going, Edge Guy Minotti?
Apparently, that's my name now. It's going well. It's incredibly hot in Los Angeles, and I have no air conditioning. But other than that, I'm fine.
Well, that's good. Your weather is quite fascinating, but
thank you.
I say we talk about some games now.
Oh, okay. Is that what we do?
Yeah. Just gonna run down what's on the agenda today. We're gonna start with news. Then we're gonna go on to the best ever. So when we talk about the best ever in any franchise, platform, or anything like that. Then our weekend gaming. We're gonna talk about games we've been playing this week. Followed by Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. How about you?
Can't wait.
Alright, then we talk about the downloadable game releases, followed by the weekly releases, and that's it.
Alright.
Yep, so why don't you start us off with the news?
Alright, we've got news. Well, we'll just get the BioShock stuff out of the way, as that finally seems to be coming down to a close. Some people poking around in the INI files in the PC version found lines of code that referenced the PlayStation 3, which created all the rumors that a PlayStation 3 version is coming, etc.
Totally
et cetera,
debunked,
et
right?
Ken Levine himself
right.
said the following. I promise you, there is no secret plan about the PS3 that we're keeping from people. There's no PS3 development going on that we're hiding. There's lots of stuff that gets in the game code. Plans change over time, and we got an exclusive deal with Microsoft. That's not a Rosetta Stone discovery. So, rumor debunked. No PS3 BioShock. Too bad.
But remember the Resident Evil guy, or somebody from Capcom, he said that if Resident Evil 4 is ever on any system besides the GameCube, he'd chop his head off.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That poor man. Sucks not to have a head, I guess.
Oh, he's probably fine. He's just a hypocrite.
Okay. So maybe Kevin Levine is too. We don't know yet. Yeah. But on a more positive spin, this week they released the BioShock soundtrack absolutely free to download to whoever wants it.
Did you get that?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I do.
I mean,
really
got
like it.
You got it because you got the collector's edition, right?
Well, no. The collector's edition, much to my dismay, it didn't come with that soundtrack.
That's a different one.
No, the soundtrack that came with it, it's really like three songs. It's just like remixed period songs, like Under the Sea.
Oh, well, I kind of want that.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed, but I mean, you know, now it's free, so whatever.
All right, so you still have more than I do. Drag.
Yeah, I got more, yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So, moving on away from BioShock, which I'm sure we'll come back to later, since we both finished it, right?
Yes.
For all you Geometry Wars fans out there, prepare to shell out $60 for the next version. The good news is it comes with a free game called Project Gotham Racing 4. Geometry Wars Waves will be included with PGR4. It will not be available for download on Xbox Live Arcade, says developer Bizarre Creations. How much do you believe that?
I believe that. I mean, I think there'll be another Geometry Wars available on Xbox Live Arcade very soon.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Maybe not Waves.
The oft-mentioned Geometry Wars 2 is certainly coming. Hopefully have, like, co-op or something.
Yeah.
Manhunt 2 gets an M rating. And will also be released on Halloween, which begs the question, was the AO thing just an elaborate marketing stunt?
No.
Of course, this sparked a lot of debate from various anti-game politicians who want to know why it got knocked down from an AO to an M. The ESRB will not release this information because they say it is not their place to disclose such confidential information that the game developers give them. So now this is kind of, again, it's bringing the validity of the ESRB in the question. I honestly think they should just say, like, they tone this down. I mean, I'm sure Manhunt 2, there's not, like, some big story spoiler to be revealed or something like that.
Right, but, I mean, they are a privately owned business, or whatever you would want to call them, right? So they have the right not to.
Yeah, it's
say
an independent
anything.
Group.
Right, independent.
So exactly, they don't have to answer to the government. So I mean, it's.
I mean, the only reason they should is that if you know they want to keep government involvement out of game rankings.
Right.
Ratings, whatever.
Next up, story. We might have a more reliable Xbox Live on the way.
What do you mean by reliable?
there's a company called Limelight Networks. They've signed a multi-year agreement with Microsoft to help improve the reliability of Microsoft's online services, including Xbox Live. And they're going to, like, work together and just kind of reinforce the backbone of Live. So, like, remember, like, how the BioShock demo came out, everything kind of slowed to a crawl. Hopefully that will not happen anymore.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. So they happen, like, trying to download the Halo 3 beta.
Exactly. So, like, this will prevent that from happening with any luck. I don't understand all the technical aspects of it, but if it means Live's going to work better, that's fine by me.
BioShock demo took, like, a day to download.
See, because I did it a few days later, it was fine, but...
Why'd you do it a few days later? Oh, you didn't have
my Xbox yet.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't send it to me.
I sent it eventually.
So last weekend was PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo. And the big news to come out of it was a lot of new information about the upcoming Penny Arcade game, Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness, Episode 1.
It's an RPG, right? That's what that one video made it look like.
It seems... what I've seen is that it's like it's almost really like a point-and-click adventure with RPG battles thrown in.
So it's a Necronox.
Yeah, actually, that's a good analogy for it. But they're using, it's kind of like a Super Mario RPG mechanic where the space bar is used for, like, timed button presses to, like, block attacks or enhance your own.
Okay.
And then, like I said, it still has strong adventure elements. Like, Ron Gilbert, the creator of Monkey Island, is on as a consultant for the game. They demoed for the first time. They let people use the character creation system, and this I thought was really cool. They're going to let you make your character. It'll be the cel-shaded 3D. You could customize it however you want. They'll also show up to the exact same customization standards on the 2D cutscenes, which I think is the coolest thing ever. I don't even know how they do that, but good for them.
The thing that worries me here is that this game's going to be a very good adventure game and a pretty weak RPG.
That's kind of what I'm feeling, too. I think that they're shying away from the RPG elements. Like, after every battle, all your health is restored.
Well, wait, that's just boring and easy.
They want the focus to be on the individual battles and not, like... What? The one, like, it's just so... It's not a dungeon crawl, I guess, basically, you know?
I wish they just, you know, had the balls to just make a straight-up adventure game.
Yeah. Hey, it could be good. If there's anybody in the gaming industry I trust, it's Gabe and Tico.
Well, so we'll I like them, but they don't have, you know, to be fair, they don't have any experience as game designers.
Well, true.
I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but we'll see. I'll try it.
Yep. At PAX was announced an Xbox Live Arcade version of the game in addition to the already announced Windows, Mac OS X, and Linux versions of the game. So now,
I am happy to hear that because I don't do very much PC gaming anymore, so...
I'd probably get that on the PC. Yeah. Just because it's a point-and-click adventure. It'd be easier to play, I think, but... I don't know. Maybe I'll buy all four. Let's go crazy.
I don't
have a Mac. Anyway. So, very exciting news was the release of the new DS Lite Brain Age 2 bundles, which includes a pretty slick-looking black and red DS Lite. Not so slick, apparently, is the new screens in these. A poster by the name of the Mighty Schwein on the NeoGAF forums compared the screens of his new DS Lite to his old black DS Lite, noting that the viewing angle was not as wide, the colors were not as bright, the screen itself had a kind of yellowish tint to it. The fear now is that all new DSs are going to be manufactured with these cheaper LCD screens. I haven't really heard much yet in the way of other people supporting his claims, so this could just be he got a bad unit. Yeah. But I don't know, like, do you think Nintendo would do that, like, realizing that the DS Lite's selling like mad, make it even cheaper so they make more money?
Well, I mean, like, they could. I wouldn't put it past them. I haven't really heard anything about this, though.
Yeah. Like I said, the fact that, like, really it's just kind of been, like, reported in the NeoGAF forum makes me think it's not that widespread, but it's something to look for.
This is something, if enough people complain about it, they'll stop.
Yeah.
So, not too big of a concern.
So, after Microsoft said that only MMORPGs on the 360 will be allowed to require the hard drive, Gabe Newell of Gearbox Software announced that his upcoming game, Borderlands, would require the HD drive on the 360, and then he later said it would not require it. stating that he didn't understand all the technical aspects of the game, and even he himself is amazed that this game can run without a hard drive. So apparently he's just an idiot.
What game is that again?
It's called Borderlands. It seems like it's kind of like Hellgate London, kind of like the first-person RPG slash shooter. With it's got a four-player co-op, and it's set in kind of like a post-apocalyptic Mad Max setting. Yeah. It looks pretty neat. Not a lot has been shown yet, but it should be interesting.
All right.
To nobody's big surprise yet, since we know it's coming September 25th, Halo 3 has gone gold. They will now begin printing millions and millions of DVD discs, and packaging, and what have you. So it's done. People can stop worrying about any potential last-minute delays. Everyone should be playing it September 25th.
Everyone but me. I'll choose not to. Nope.
You'll play it.
Yeah, probably.
You can't resist four-player co-op.
Sure I can. I didn't play two-player co-op.
Yes, I can resist because it wasn't on live.
I don't care. Chris was home then. I didn't play it.
So, speaking of playing online, rumor has it that Virtue Fighter 5 on the 360 will not be released in Japan, citing the low install base of the 360 for the reason. This, of course, begs the question, does that mean Japan gets no online Virtue Fighter 5 loving? It was hinted that it is, in theory, possible to make a patch for the PS3 version to have online play, but that was by no means a confirmation of such a patch, just like saying, yeah, we could do it if we wanted. If they want to, that's another question entirely.
Virtual Fighter, very popular in Japan, Xbox 360, not so much.
Yeah, it's kind of like an odd combination. Honestly, you would think Microsoft would have been dumping some money in that, because to say we have online Virtue Fighter 5 in Japan, that might actually sell some units there.
Might have.
Speaking of failing hardware, the N-Gage is returning. Well, not as you once knew it.
Is it like a GameTap kind of service now?
Well, not GameTap, but it's a game distribution service on Nokia phones.
Okay.
So far, signed up to provide content on Electronic Arts, Capcom, Vivendi, and someone called Digital Chocolate.
Well, Sega's not signed up yet?
No, I'm sure they will, because they supported the original N-Gage pretty heavily.
Yeah, to the moon.
But the neat thing is, every game is going to have a demo. They'll run on a wide range of Nokia phones. You'll need to get, like, a phone that looks like a taco. And I think this is like what the N-Gage should have been in the first place, not some scuzzy PS1-esque graphic machine that you had to pop out the battery to swap the cartridges.
Right.
So, I mean, really, this isn't any different than how you get a cell phone game now. They're just putting a name to it and kind of throwing a little bit more developer support behind it. So, I mean, this could work out and could be all well and good.
I can't believe we're even talking about anything named the N-Gage again.
Things have a way of coming back, I guess.
I guess so.
And that is the major highlights of the news this week.
I know something you forgot.
Oh boy, what'd I forget?
The rumors of Metroid Dread resurfacing.
Oh, I did forget that. You're right.
And
I know
I
the
remembered.
Story.
Well, it's just I know. It's just I think there's something you can scan in Metroid Prime 3, and like it'll say like Project Dread near completion or something like that.
It says, if you scan it, it says Metroid Project Dread nearing completion. IGN discovered this when they were reviewing the game with their review code, and has been confirmed by several other sources.
Cool.
Whether or not this is just a little developer in-joke, or if this is any actual indication that the oft-rumored 2D DS game is on its way, nobody knows. They're not saying.
Hey, AJ, ask me about Grim Fandango.
Ask me about Loom.
It's coming. But they never even officially announced it, which is cool. There's just like someone took a picture of it, of the logo at like it was on Nintendo's booth at like E3 2006. Then like the actual E3 event came around and it was never talked about.
Honestly, I don't know how it's taken them this long. Hopefully that is coming, because I for one would be all over that.
Oh yeah, new 2D Metroid game. Yeah, definitely.
Because I mean, Fusion was great. Zero Mission was, I thought, fantastic. I'm ready for another one.
Yeah, those are always good.
All right, so that's the news.
Okay. Hey,
we got it.
And speaking of Metroid, let's move on to the best ever And if you haven't guessed it yet, this week's best ever will be the best Metroid ever.
Oh, boy.
Timely, huh?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So you've played quite a bit more of Corruption than I have.
Yes, you want to talk about Corruption now?
Well, we could kind of go through the games a little bit in reverse order.
All right, let's talk about Corruption. So you started it?
I started it. I have just arrived onto the planet Brio, which is the first planet you get to after the kind of introduction sequence on the space station.
Right, it's a pretty long introduction sequence.
Yeah, I gotta say, so far, I'm really enjoying the game. Like, I think the Wiimote aiming works pretty well. I love the interactivity.
Well.
Yeah. But, like, the interactivity is sweet. Like, how you have to, like, reach out and, like, twist switches around. Or I love using the grapple beam. It just feels really good. So they really got, finally, a first-person shooter working on the Wii.
Yeah, that is exciting in and of itself.
Graphics, are fantastic. It's
those games have
amazing.
Always good.
Well, amazing art design.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot, but, like, it's still not on the same level as the original Metroid Prime for me.
Because, I mean, that game, it just had such a wow factor, because that was...
Right.
Early in that generation's life cycle, we were just getting to see what these machines were capable of, and that was like the big graphical showcase of the Wii at the time. I mean, of the GameCube.
Yeah.
Same thing.
This game it does sacrifice some of its Metroid-ness.
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
definitely
appeal to more people.
It's a lot more of a shooter than the others have been.
Well, it's not even so much that. Just like, you know, there's people you're talking to, and there are other characters.
Oh, I know.
There's like a little
the
robot.
The fact that I had to like change settings for voice, I was like, oh.
There's a computer who's talking to you the whole time, giving you your objectives. And I mean, like navigation is a lot more linear. I mean, there's still backtracking, but you have to get to your ship and fly around. And like a lot of the changes like are, you know, they're fun and they're good. I'm not saying necessarily bad, but they're just less Metroid-y to me.
Right.
But the control is very impressive, and I mean. I can understand why they made it more of a shooter, because that's what makes this one different, is the fact that, you know, you have better shooting controls.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. The boss battles have been pretty good.
Yeah, the first boss you fought I really enjoyed.
What, Ridley?
Oh, falling down that pit with him?
Yeah, that was pretty
sweet.
That was
cool. I also like that Frozone makes a cameo in the game.
Frozone?
Someone on their dev team likes The Incredibles.
Are you aware of Iceman, AJ?
Eh.
You know, Frozone from The Incredibles wasn't the first guy to have the whole ice bridge thing.
Yeah, you're right. I guess I'm not aware of Iceman. I just remember him in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 going, Ice Beam! Ice Beam!
Yes, he's a very cheap character in that game. Because when he blocks, he doesn't take any damage.
That's why he was the best. All right, we're getting off track.
That's why he was cheap.
So,
that's why he was banned.
I know. So anyway, Metroid Prime 3, I mean, obviously we're not done with it, so we really can't say it's the best yet. And I don't think I would say it's the best anyway.
No, I probably wouldn't. But I do like it a lot.
Yes.
It's a very good
Wii
game.
Going back from there, if you want to be technical, we have Metroid Pinball.
Hey, you know what? I like Metroid Pinball.
I never really played much. I think I played like some multiplayer single cart with you, and that was about it.
The multiplayer is actually fun, but as far as pinball games go, Metroid Pinball was the best one I played since probably Kirby Pinball Land.
Ooh, that's a good game.
That's high praise, because that's an awesome game, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a very good pinball game. I actually did like it. I mean, you know, it's a pinball game that I actually would say is worth, like, the $30, whatever they're charging for. So it was very good.
It's impressive.
It had excellent music. Oh, Corruption has pretty good music, too.
I like the title screen music.
Although, like, it's weird, because, like, sometimes the music's awesome, and, like, every once in a while it'll just be kind of boring and dull, but... Whatever. Metroid.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Then, going back from there, would that be Metroid Prime 2 Echoes?
I think we have Hunters first.
Is Hunters first? I wasn't sure.
Pinball actually came out before Hunters, but let's talk about Hunters.
Okay, so you got Hunters. That was basically just a shooter.
It was interesting that, like, they could do it.
That game was frustrating to me because it did. But, like, it was just frustrating because, like, with Metroid Prime 1 and 2, they created what I felt was the only good workable single analog stick first-person shooter control scheme. And that was, like, it would have worked perfectly on the DS. Use the L trigger to lock on, R button to do looking around. And no, they make you use these touchscreen controls like it's a mouse. It's, like, impossible to hold the system while you do it. And like, I mean, it was an okay Quake 2-esque game, but it was not a Metroid game.
No, I didn't even play very much of it.
I played through the first like mission or whatever it was, and I got bored.
It had cutscenes, which was
the graphics of fantastic. It looked not too far off from the GameCube versions, which was, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a weird little game that I think time is gonna forget pretty soon.
I think so, especially if Metroid Dread does happen.
Yeah.
So then we got Prime 2 Echoes.
It was a lot like Metroid Prime 1, which was good, but mm-hmm. like a lot of things that they changed, I didn't really like. It was the first Metroid game where you had ammo.
Yeah, you had ammo. It had the whole light world, dark world thing that like was kind of neat. But
it was kind of cumbersome, and like you could always get hurt if you weren't standing in like these spheres. It was.
I honestly didn't play a lot of it. I kind of got turned off by it, never picked it up. Then I lost my GameCube memory card and didn't feel like starting over.
But I mean, it was still very well crafted. I mean, still had a lot of good stuff.
Apparently, according to people who played it, the one particular level in it is like the best thing ever.
So, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It might merit picking up again someday, maybe after I beat 3 if I still have a craving for Metroid.
10 years from now when it gets repackaged on Virtual Console.
Oh, I'm waiting for the repackaging of Prime 1 and 2 with Wii controls, like on one disc.
Ugh, no.
I bet it's coming.
Nah, it's not gonna happen.
Okay. So then going back from there, we've got Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime.
Which is fantastic.
The best translation of a game from 2D to 3D ever.
Oh, easily. Because everyone was, like, when people found out that an American developer was going to make Metroid into a first-person shooter, everyone just immediately wrote this game off. And it proved them all wrong.
Yeah, no, that game is just fantastic. It's still incredible looking. It has, like, a sense of environment that very few games have.
I mean, it got everything about Metroid right. You had the platforming, jumping worked really well in the game, the classic, you know, finding your upgrades, and then those upgrades let you get to new areas you couldn't go to before.
And it really has that sense of isolation that's kind of missing from Corruption.
Exactly. I mean, it was just a really well-made game, and I know you didn't beat it, but Metroid Prime, the last boss...
I almost beat it, yeah.
Oh, the last boss was so good. That was so fun.
Prime 1 is definitely very, very good. And you know what, in Prime 1, I really liked scanning everything. I, like, scanned everything, and I read everything. I wanted to learn everything.
Yeah.
In Corruption, I'm not quite as scan-happy anymore.
I think it's because in Corruption, it's a little slower to switch scan visors.
It is, and it's just like, I don't know, because it's more of a shooter, I just want to shoot things a lot of times. I just want to progress.
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, hurry up. Besides, in Prime 1, a lot of that story was about the Chozo, which, you know, are the alien race that raised Samus. So, you know, I kind of wanted to read up on all
that. Yeah,
that
was really interesting to, like, find out where Samus came from.
Like, all these things are just about the whatever planet you're on. I mean, it's about those people. It's about the environment you're in. But beyond that, it's not, you know, all that crucial or anything.
Right, right. So, that's... Of the ones we've listed so far, that was definitely the best one.
Well, yeah, that was the best Prime game. It was better than Pinball and Hunters.
Yes.
Really, so at the same time as that...
Yeah, we had, after that was Zero Mission.
Oh, we skipped Zero Mission?
Yeah, we did skip it.
Well.
We don't know what we're talking about, do we?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, so Metroid Zero Mission.
It's Metroid 1.
It was the original Metroid remade with, you know, the kind of the Metroid Fusion style graphics, then with a new kind of end mission tacked on where you played as Samus outside of her suit that I actually thought was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I liked that part too.
And, I mean, I thought that game was just really good. I really enjoyed it. Just kind of felt like the classic 2D Metroid that you know and love.
It kind of felt like Super Metroid Lite.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was like the game before Super Metroid, but given a lot of Super Metroid elements now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, it had like, you know, there's Ridley and here's, you know, all those bosses again. It was still a lot of fun. And, you know, the extra mission added a lot.
The extra mission part always made me think it'd be neat if they made, like, a Metroid prequel series called, like, Samus Aran Bounty Hunter or something, where, like, I kind of, like, pictured, like what they were showing for StarCraft Ghost, except you play as Samus, but, like, before she gets the Metroid suit.
I don't think she was a bounty hunter before she got the Metroid suit.
Yeah, I don't know the backstory well enough, but it'd be a neat game, though.
Maybe. I don't know.
You did it right.
Well, I guess. If you did anything right, it'd be good.
Right.
Okay.
So then moving back from there, we've got Metroid Fusion.
Which was...
Metroid Fusion was good, but it did one thing that really bothered me. And that was that you could jump while you were the Morph Ball. Because I
That's what bothered you?
A little bit. And the fact, too, that like you can grab on to ledges and pull up and go right into the Morph Ball. Because to me, like bouncing around as a Morph Ball was like such a big part of what made that game like I don't know, this was like the essence of Metroid, was like learning how to bomb bounce in the ball form. Oh. I mean, it didn't kill the game. I just kind of feel like they were gimping it a bit.
I think bigger problems with that game were, I mean, it was pretty short, and I mean, it was pretty linear.
It was good, though.
It was
kind of a nice return to the 2D Metroid that we hadn't seen in a very long time.
No, and that was the first time we saw like the Samus clone, which was,
yeah.
it was actually kind of creepier in that game than it was in Echoes.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I mean, that thing could just take you out, and you just had to like hide from it.
Yeah, that was cool.
So does that bring us to Super Metroid?
That brings us to Super Metroid.
Oh, I love Super Metroid.
Super Metroid is just so good.
Oh, yeah. Super Metroid.
Honestly, it's probably the best game of the 16-bit era.
It is. Yeah, I can't think of anything from Genesis Super Nintendo that's better.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about it last week already. And I mean, that game just has a presence. A lot of things we said about Metroid Prime apply to that, which is more impressive, really, because this game is, like, 10 years before Metroid Prime.
Exactly. And then, like... I mean, I wish, like, my favorite thing in the game was when you got the suit enhancement that just let you run really fast. I don't know why, but that just felt very visceral to me, and I wish they somehow got that into Metroid Prime. Maybe they do in the third one. Who knows? I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But, like, just, like, everything about the game, it controlled so well. All your abilities, like, were managed well. All the weapons were cool. And, I love the whole mechanic of, like, you just beat the game. You now have, like, 5 minutes to run through everything backwards before everything blows up.
And that game, I still think, has the best final boss in any game ever.
Oh, like the Super Mother Brain?
Yeah, Super Mother Brain that just wants to destroy you. It's cool. Oh, you know, even right before that, you're just sort of walking around the halls, and that Metroid attacks you, and it's just about to kill you, and then it stops. It's like, oh, mommy, just kind of floating around you, then it kind of goes away, then it comes back, saves you, sacrifices itself, and gives you the Hyper Beam.
Oh,
then you take on Mother Brain, epic,
so
epic
good.
Stuff.
So good.
Nothing compares.
Metroid
I never played 2. Metroid 2. Very few people. I mean, I'm surprised that's a game they haven't repackaged.
Well, the
Not
way
that
game worked was
that
the only enemies in the game, from what I understand, was that there were like 30 Metroids that you had to just hunt down and find, and that was it. It was just basically running around this big stage hunting these Metroids.
Well, you know, the Metroids didn't all just look like the Metroids.
Yeah, they were different kinds of Metroids, but still, it seemed like it was kind of empty. I mean, it was a Game Boy game, so
I don't know, because
not too much you could do.
I saw like the retrospective on a game videos or game trailers, one of those, and like. Graphically, it was a pretty big upgrade from Metroid 1.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually some detail in her suit and stuff. So I think it deserves a bit more credit than you're giving it.
It's possible.
It's hard to say. I mean, I never got to play
it. Yeah, we never really got to play it, so...
Metroid 1.
The original... That game, I played a ton as a kid, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I enjoyed it.
I don't think... It doesn't hold up as well as a lot of other games from the NES period do. Just because it's missing, like... A lot of conventions we're used to from Super Metroid, most notably a map.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some people say, you know, that makes it more hardcore, but...
And a lot of people, like, that game kind of just evolved into try dropping a bomb on every tile, because one of them might blow up and lead you to the next path you need to take. But, it was groundbreaking for its time, and it was amazing how it really managed to convey that kind of atmosphere and that sense of isolation using, you know, the pretty primitive graphics at the time. And then, of course, everybody was just floored when you found out that Samus was a woman.
Yeah, they were. I mean, now we have a lot of female protagonists in games.
Yeah, but even though, I mean, like, Samus is kind of, like, cool because she's not, like, sexed up. I mean, she's in her armor.
Well, recently she might have been a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, at that time, not really.
Yeah.
All right, then. You, best Metroid ever.
Super Metroid.
Super Metroid. I thought you might. I thought you. I knew for you it was either between that or Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So why why Super Metroid and not Prime?
Like you said earlier, I think because they both kind of accomplished the same thing, but the fact that, like, Super Metroid did it, like, on the Super Nintendo in 2D, and that was, like, the pinnacle of 2D game design. It was just so well done, and, like, every moment of that game was just so perfectly crafted. And, like, Metroid Prime, like, you got to the part where you were just trying to, like, track down, like, the 8 keys or whatever they were. That got a little cumbersome. And, like, sometimes, like, I mean, for my praise for the control scheme, I mean, there were times when sometimes it didn't work exactly as well as you feel like it could have. I mean, Super Metroid, honestly, I can't think, like, of a single glaring flaw with that game. It was just incredible.
All right. Well, I'm saying Super Metroid, too. Same.
That's, like, your favorite game of all time, isn't
it? Second favorite game, yeah, it is. So.
Right.
It's not a huge surprise. I love Super Metroid. That game is just an experience. And I mean, I only played it for my first time, like, much more than 4 years ago, maybe. So that shows you how well it holds up.
The first time I ever played it was, I'm sad to say, on an emulator on my laptop while I was at Buckeye Boy State. Me and these three other guys kind of worked our way through the game, like, playing for a few hours each day.
Yeah. It is a good game. Alright, so, Super Metroid, best Metroid ever, one of the, best games ever.
Indeed.
And that is the best ever. So I guess we're going to talk about our week in gaming right now.
Indeed.
I mean, this might be a little short this week because a lot of it for me has been Metroid Prime 3.
Yeah, we just kind of did that game.
I mean, we both beat BioShock.
Yes, and so. We both did the quote-unquote bad ending, right?
Yeah, I think to get the good ending... You not only have to, like, save a majority of the little sisters, I think you have to, like, save them all.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
If you harvest even just one, you're done?
Well, that's what it sounds like.
See, like, that's kind of dumb to me, because, like, that game, it makes this promise of such this huge open-end world, and the kind of central theme of the game seems to be kind of, like, redemption, of, like, because you find out spoiler alert if you haven't beaten BioShock yet. Like, you know, you find out that you were this guy's puppet, but you break free from that, and now you're going to get him. It seems like you should get that same chance to redeem yourself.
Yeah, I agree. If there was a worse point to the game, it would be the ending.
Yeah, just because, like, I mean, like, it's the game is so good, and then the ending, it felt like some weird tacked-on ending. Like, I mean, it's not...
It kind of did.
It's not in-engine, it's some... pre-rendered FMV that doesn't even look as good as the game, in my opinion. You get, like, some trite narration while some kind of random events transpire. It's like, oh, look, you have a nuke now. And that was the end.
You know what hurts it for me was there wasn't, a credit scroll.
Yeah, it did that, and then it just dumped you back to the title screen. I was like, oh.
Because a lot of games, like, you know, as cheap as it might be, they kind of get away with feeling more cinematic just by having those credits. And, like,
yeah,
it's such
like a
cinematic
music
game.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, have your music play, show some credits, show some neat artwork fly by, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, now, what I have heard is that the good ending is a lot more satisfying.
Yeah,
I read it.
It sounds better.
I didn't read it yet, so I'm going to try to beat it again.
I mean, I will eventually. But
yeah.
BioShock, incredible game. Last week I said I liked Half-Life 2 more, and I'm going to stick with that. Because BioShock it's very good, and it keeps that same level of excellency, like, the whole way through. Well, Half-Life 2, it started out really good, and it kind of kept getting better. You know what I mean?
I think BioShock, it's good. Like you said, it just keeps that level of just amazing time.
Yeah, amazing.
Half-Life
good.
2, when it's bad, it's still pretty good, and when it's good, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, there are parts when Half-Life 2 is not as good as BioShock, but there are other parts where it's just amazing.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to have to go ahead, and I'm going to have to say as well that I think Half-Life 2 is better.
Yeah, Half-Life 2 ending with the super gravity gun is just amazing.
Oh, that was so fun.
I said that Super Metroid is the best final boss, but Half-Life 2 is the best final... Let's say level, if you want to,
yeah.
of the game. Yeah,
easily.
Did you like the last boss in BioShock?
I liked him, but he did seem a little out of place for the game. I thought. Because
you never
really had anything that was set up like a boss encounter.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then, like, all of a sudden we had this guy dump up, and he was very formulaic. He had his three stages through three different elements, then he, like, went up in his thing, and you stuck the needle into him.
Well, it was pretty good, though.
It was fine. It was
hard, which is good. Like, I almost
really?
Died.
I beat him. I had five health hypos left.
Aren't you really neat?
You must be amazing.
You're awesome, aren't you, God? Okay.
Well, you don't have to call me God, but okay.
Yeah, that's really funny.
I know.
What else you play?
Let's see, I,
You played Call of Duty 4, finally.
Oh, the Call of Duty 4 beta. I got my key last night. I typed it up, downloaded the beta, and I played it until I reached the max level, which is level 11, and the game, you underplayed it, I think. I think it's incredible.
I said it was very, very good.
It's fantastic.
I said it was surprisingly very, very awesome.
Oh, my God.
I underplayed it. It's so good. I think you need to listen to last week's podcast again, because I was pretty enthusiastic about Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, and I think it's... I know you were, and I'm saying it's even better than you made it sound.
Jeez.
I think it's really fantastic. It's so fun. Just like... I love that, like, that you talked about this last week, but I just want to go into it a little more. The whole system of consecutive kills give you these rewards.
Yeah.
Because I was telling you this earlier today. I played this match. It was the last match I played last night. Our team was down by just a couple kills. And I was on my fourth kill in a row, so I activated the UAV so I could, like, see where all the enemies were in my radar. And then I got my fifth kill, which opened up the airstrike. So I ducked into a corner, pulled up the map for the airstrike, saw that there were like six bad guys all in the same spot, sent the airstrike there, took them out. That gave me the kills I needed for the helicopter. We were down, we just needed two more kills now to win. I call the helicopter, I shoot one guy, then I get taken down, but because I had the last stand perk, I'm just like kind of lying on the floor, slowly dying, but I can still shoot with my pistol, and the helicopter takes out the last guy and we won the round. It was just amazing.
Nice.
Did you create your own class?
Yeah.
What's yours called?
Fox Merc.
Mine's Rambo.
That's nice. Yeah, mine's a little weird. Kevin was with me, and we each decided to come up with half of it.
Okay. Well, what did you equip it with?
Well, I gave it that first automatic rifle. Like when I unlocked the carbine, I actually put the carbine in for a little bit, but I went back to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the carbine, it's, stabler, you know? Recoil? Yeah. You have less recoil with it, but it's not as powerful. So like, you know, even though I was shooting them more, I just wasn't killing them enough. And that game, when you meet somebody, you have to get them down before they kill you.
Yeah.
So I went back to the other gun with the red laser point. Make sure you have to have last stand. Last stand is an awesome thing.
It's fun, too.
Yeah. Oh, when you get a kill with last stand, it's just a great feeling.
Yeah.
What's your favorite map?
What's it called? Is it Wrecked? Is that the one with, like, the crash plane in the middle?
Something like that, yeah. There's Overgrown and the one that's indoors.
Yeah, like the office building. I mean, they're all very good maps. I like Overgrown because it reminds me of a map I really liked in Call of Duty 2.
I know what you're talking about.
It was kind of the same thing with, like, farmhouses and plant life. And it's amazing. Like, they showed an E3 video, but when you get that camo and you, like, duck into the grass, you really can't see, like, that person hiding there. The camouflage, the way it works, is incredible.
Where do you get that camo?
If you're a sniper, you get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because, yeah, usually on that map, I like to snipe. And I love how they have the challenge system in the game, where if you do these goals, like get 100 kills with a weapon or 25 headshots, it's like another way to get experience, which, I mean, like I said, we already hit the cap.
It kind of sucks that I'm getting these challenges and I won't be able to get them again, and I'm, you know, getting this useless experience.
Yeah.
Oh, well, though.
It's just a really good solid. And, like, I play the different game types, but I keep going back to Team Deathmatch, because that's just the most fun.
Yeah, it is the most fun. It's the most play, too. It's easiest to find a match in that.
Yeah.
But, no. Like Call of Duty 4 a lot. I think we both can't say enough good things about it so far.
Yeah, so if you...
I mean, I was a little skeptical
beta,
when everyone was...
play it a lot.
I mean, it was getting a lot of praise at E3, and I was a little skeptical, but no.
I was surprised, too. I figured the game would be, like, good, because, like I said, I like Call of Duty 2, and these are the same guys, Infinity Ward, but I just didn't expect it to be this good. Looks incredible, too. The graphics are amazing.
Right. So, I think that's enough on Call of Duty 4.
Yep.
Let's see. I had to play a couple of Xbox Live arcade games for review at 4.
Oh, yeah. What were you playing?
First was Super Contra.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot to say about Super Contra. That's why I had a hard time writing the review, really. Yeah, it's Contra. It's very hard. It's like you play and it's like this is kind of, you know, just okay, but at the same time it's awesome because it's Contra.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're going around shooting things, the music's sweet, there's just a lot about it. It captures that arcade feel so well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's got a big nostalgic factor, so it's fine. I gave it a 7.
That's good.
Then the other game I played, I didn't actually write the review yet, was Golden Axe.
Oh, there's a classic.
I guess so.
I love that game.
Really?
I just have fond memories of playing that game back in the day. I mean, it really, technically, it's not a very good game. It's just kind of a basic brawler.
It is. But it's basic.
It's got a high nostalgia factor for me.
I mean, it's fun enough. It's just, it's... The mechanics aren't great. It's pretty short. It's kind of easy. I mean, me and I had a friend over. We went through it on normal. We beat it. I gave myself as many lives as possible because, like, okay, I just need to beat this. Then we, just for fun, we went through it again on the hardest difficulty. We were still able to beat it. It seems like it got an endless amount of continues. So, and the version on Xbox Live Arcade is actually the arcade version. It's not the Genesis version. So the graphics are better, but the Genesis version actually has an extra level. So, you know, but whatever. It's Golden Axe. It's okay.
Let's see. I played, I checked out the demo for Super, what's it called? Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
How is that?
Did you play this?
No, I'll have to soon.
I've never played this game before. I just completely missed out on the series, and it's really good. As far as puzzle games go, it's pretty solid. The only thing I don't get is, like, they redrew all the graphics. They're, like, all the gems and the background, so they're really high res. They look nice. But, like, for those who don't know, while you're playing the game, you pick, like, your fighter. And it's kind of like, if you ever played any, like, the pocket fighting games, it's those characters. They're kind of, like, super deformed, cutesy versions of all the Street Fighter and Vampire Hunter characters.
Darkstalkers.
And they didn't redraw them, so they look like these fuzzy, upscale PS1 sprites, and everything else looks like super clean. It's just, it's a little disconcerting, which is annoying.
I don't think they had the priorities straight.
Yeah, but I mean, the mechanics of the game is very solid. It's really fun, and I actually might end up getting that one. I like it a lot.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for me. You play anything else that you want to mention?
I hit up a couple more demos. I played NHL 08 demo.
Don't feel obligated to go into details about
NHL. I don't understand hockey well enough, and I can't get... they have that right stick deep mechanic, whatever. I can't get it to work for me, so... If you like hockey, supposedly it's good. And it has online leagues, which is nice this year, so... That's worth checking out. I played through the Blazing Angels Squadrons World War II demo. Felt like more of the same from the first game. It was fine. I don't know, like, a lot of airplane shooter games like that just devolve into line up your crosshair in whatever way you can and shoot it.
Right, well, whatever. I'd rather it was a Burning Crusade. What was that game? Crimson Skies.
Yeah, that game's cool because of all the tricks and everything.
Right, right. So I guess we're done with that.
Yeah, that's, pretty much the extent of my gaming this week.
Right, mostly BioShock,
BioShock
Metroid,
and Metroid.
And, as and always with me, a Final Fantasy game.
Oh, boy.
So join me for another edition of Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy.
All right, what do you got for us this week, Mike?
The music plays.
It's playing already.
Welcome, friends. Last week, shortly after recording the podcast, I beat Final Fantasy IV. This was the first game on the Super Nintendo. And, in a lot of ways, I feel like Final Fantasy IV is kind of the sequel to Final Fantasy II, while Final Fantasy III is sort of the sequel to Final Fantasy I. Because 2 was more story-driven, you know, and 1 was more like you pick your class. You know, it's more like about leveling up and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I did enjoy 4 quite a bit. It was, you know, it was easier again. It wasn't as hard as 3. It was much better paced. I never had to do any grinding or anything like that. And there were some cool characters in there. Like,
yeah, I played through a chunk of 4, and I was really impressed with it. I never played it before until I got the GBA one when it came out, and yeah, it's really solid. It's really good.
It is. The weird thing about it is you have 5 people in your party at a time.
See, I like that. I like having lots of people in your party, because it just feels like you have more options in combat.
It's the only Final Fantasy game to do it. It was annoying. There's like an awkward part in, kind of towards the beginning, where it was like your main character and then like 4 mages with you. Which is just kind of annoying. Because, you know, you can... It's like... You don't want to cast fire every round. It takes forever.
Yeah.
This was also the first Final Fantasy to have the active time battle system.
Yeah, ATB system.
Which they used all the way through Final Fantasy IX.
Yep.
So it says something about how good it is. And, you know, I definitely like it better than the old turn-based style. Because it's kind of interesting, because, you know, it's like it's still kind of like an RPG, where you're still, like, picking your commands somewhat frantically, you know? You just can't wait around forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are kind of fun things. But it still had a lot of similarities with 3. I mean, a lot of things are still the same. Summons are very similar. A lot of, like, although you don't pick your classes, all of the characters have a class, and a lot of them are identical to 3, like the Dragoon.
Yeah, the Dragoon
has jump,
and the White Mage and all
the White
that.
Mage, the... Dark Knight? It was a lot
Dark
like
Knight.
Yeah.
It was Monk, a lot like, I think, is in there. And yeah.
Monk, yeah.
And the classic and the Final Fantasy jobs.
Yeah, you know, all that stuff. But, all in all, I don't know how memorable 4 is going to be when, like, I look back on all of these games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was fun, it was neat, but it was pretty... even for these games, it was pretty short. I beat it in, like, 16 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I mean it really flew by, which is probably, you know, a compliment to it, because I'm like 5 hours into Final Fantasy V right now, and I feel like I've been playing that one forever. But 4 flew by pretty quickly, and it was the only Final Fantasy game, to my knowledge, where you went to the moon.
Oh,
so
fun.
Kudos for that.
Well, tell me about 5, because I've never played 5 in any shape or form. I had that. What's it called? Final Fantasy Origins or whatever for the PlayStation 1?
Not Origins.
I had like 5 and 6.
You have,
no, not Origins.
Anthology.
Yeah. But I just never played 5, so I don't know. Tell me about it.
Well, when you had that, I actually started 5. Like, and I literally, like, started it, and that's all I did. I didn't even play a single battle. Because, actually, the translation on that version of it was so bad, I couldn't stand it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, but the translations, it was redone for this version of the game. And you have 4 characters in your party at all times. You can change their jobs and stuff. And it's a lot of similar jobs. The job system is similar to 3's, but the really cool thing about it is that when you level up your job, you learn skills depending on what job you are and what job level you are, and your character always knows, can always, you know, memorize those skills, so it can use one of those skills at all times. So you can level up a black mage, and it'll, you know, besides, you know, being able to use black magic, it'll learn the skill black magic. So then you can turn him into, like, a knight, but you can still give him the black magic command.
Now, are, like, the black magic command's not as strong because you're not a black mage anymore?
No, your stats might go down a little bit, but for the most part, it's pretty good.
Okay. Because I know this game, it did have, like, a stronger emphasis on the job system. That was kind of like its whole ace in the sleeve.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. Its story, it's not worse than 4's.
Or that's
anything.
Good.
Yeah. Even the characters...
They should have put that in the box when it came out.
No worse than 4. But, I mean, the characters are surprisingly likable and good. The world map so far is better organized. That was one thing that drove me crazy about 4. The world map was just huge. There's no map to look at. And it didn't take me to, like, the end of the game to realize that the spell I had, called Scan, would open up a mini-map. Which is kind of bizarre. So far, it's weird. The game with the best map was Final Fantasy 1. It was the only one to actually have, like, a map with, like, you know, an appendix of names that you can look through and find where everything was. Hmm. But, I'm actually surprised how much I like 5. I like 5 quite a bit.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, like, the job system in 5 is really good. I mean, I have a white mage who I, just for, like, a little bit, I turn into, it's like this class can, like, it can, like, do a magic spell based on, like, the environment it's in. So if it's, like, Earth, it'll do Earthquake. If it's, like, in a cave, it'll use, like, Satellite and, like, Slagmite and, like, a spike will come down and hit a person. So, like, you know, I got that skill. So now I have a white mage who can just use this other random magic attack whenever I need to.
That's handy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a lot of customizing available in that game, which I appreciate. And for what I understand, there's, like, 3 different worlds in it, and I'm just about to beat the first world, so I'm about a third way through 5.
Okay.
But I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I really like 5.
Just remember, once you beat that, you get to play 6.
Yeah, huge incentive.
6 is so good.
6 is fan-freaking-tastic.
So hopefully we'll get to talk about that next week.
I'm going
to
be in trouble, though, because, like, after 6, I mean, so far I've played all of these games on my DS.
Right, right.
And, like, I don't know if I'll be able to keep up this pace when I have to, like, sit in front of a PlayStation and do this.
It'll slow you down a bit. Just because you don't have as many opportunities to play, but you can do it. I have faith in you.
Yeah, faith? Did you expect me to get this far?
I honestly didn't, so I think if you made it this far, you're going to make it to the end.
Oh, man.
It's quite a legacy of gaming.
So, I want you to get the victory music ready. I know you got it on your computer somewhere. Final Fantasy IV is beaten.
Very nice. Well done.
Okay. You're going to play that after I said that?
Of course I am.
I was thinking about adding lyrics to it, like Final Fantasy IV, like Mike Naughty beat up Final Fantasy, Mike beat Final Fantasy IV, now there's only one.
That,
if you can sync that up,
yeah,
that'd be spectacular.
I'll do my best.
Because, anyways, before someone says, you have 8 more to play, I already beat 12, and 11 doesn't count.
Yep.
All right, and that's it for my adventures in Final Fantasy this week.
Thrilling.
Yes. I guess we got to go down to the downloadable game releases for the next week.
Oh, and these are similarly thrilling. After the Megaton that was Super Metroid last week on the Wii, we have actually some decent games this week, but nothing I'm going to rush out and buy. First up on the Wii Virtual Console, we've got Ghouls and Ghosts, the Sega Genesis version.
Now, is that, like, very similar to Super Ghouls and Ghosts, or Ghosts and Goblins, whatever it's
called? I believe it preceded it, and it's not, like, as good.
Okay. I really like that Super Nintendo game. I never played it before until it came out on Virtual Console.
And it's hard.
It's hard, but it's very...
It's so hard.
It's one of those games that's hard, and it's very good, still.
Yeah. So, I mean... If you're going to get a Ghouls and Ghosts, I'd say get Super Ghouls and Ghosts on Super Nintendo and Wii rather than this Genesis one. But if you're a purist or a completist or whatever, you know what it is. So go for it.
Right.
Next is an RPG for the SNES that I'm not very familiar with, Breath of Fire 2.
Oh, that came out?
Yeah.
That was Capcom who made that series, right?
Didn't they just make a new one like a few years ago? Breath of Fire 4 maybe it was?
I don't know.
Not very. It's another JRPG on the SNES, and there aren't really a lot of those on the Virtual Console yet. So, if you like JRPGs, check it out.
That's the last thing I need right now is more JRPGs.
Yeah, seriously. And then talking about Super Contra earlier, we've got Super C for the NES.
That's the same game.
This week. Yeah. So for the same price, you can get the Xbox Live Arcade version that has online co-op and achievements. So.
And it's based off the arcade version, not the NES port.
Yeah. Speaking of Xbox Live Arcade, we've got the aforementioned Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Sounds like a solid addition.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. So, I mean, as always, definitely check out the demo. And then we got Sega kind of drop a surprise on us this week with no prior announcement. We got Streets of Rage 2.
Oh, yeah, I heard it. I really want to try that. We should both get that and play through it. That'd be fun.
We should. I had the third one. I played that back in the day. I never really played the first two. But, like, as far as beat-em-ups go, it's really solid.
Does this one have the, the old man with the robot arm?
No, that was the third one.
Oh.
And the kangaroo. That was the third one.
Who am I going to play as? What character looked the coolest?
There's a kid on roller skates.
Well, that's kind of the opposite of what I'm thinking of.
There's, like, that kid, there's, like, the average guy, there's the chick, and there's the really big guy.
Average guy it is.
All right. So, I played through the trial. it's fun. I mean, it's just it's the classic example of the good beat 'em up.
I never really thought about that name before. It's kind of funny, Streets of Rage.
It's as generic as it gets.
As if streets could rage.
It's like a wave of like asphalt comes at you, going rage.
I'm raging. Okay, continue.
Anyway, the PlayStation Network saw some games this week. The day after it came out on the Xbox Live Arcade, the PSN also got Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Good.
Same price, online play, just like, I mean, the two versions are identical, except you get achievements on the 360. That's really the only difference.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, so I played the PS3 version just to see what it's like, and it is exactly the same. And then for those of you who enjoy your Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection, you can now pay $9.99 to add online play to the game, or for $30 you can get the entire game with the online included.
I never liked Tekken.
Of all the 3D fighters, it was the least appealing to me. Give me Soul Calibur any day.
Well, maybe you mean of the most famous 3D fighters.
Right.
You might like it more than, say, Bloody Roar.
Bloody Roar's awesome.
Wait, what about Dead or Alive? Do you really like Dead or Alive that much?
It's okay.
Yeah.
If you learn the counter system in the game, it's kind of fun. I've only ever rented Dead or Alive games.
And I don't like very many 3D fighting. I like Soul Calibur. I tried to get into Virtual Fighter 5. I rented it, and I played the crap out of it. I played as that Rey Mysterio knockoff character. Mm-hmm. And, like, for all my playing it, like, the AI beat the crap out of me. Then yeah, I remember people were talking about, oh, the 360 version is going to have harder AI. Thank God. I'm like, yeah. Christ almighty.
No, thank you. And then the other game released on the PSN this week was the much-vaunted Warhawk. Which is, it's a full-fledged retail game, just $40 to download on the PSN.
It's getting reviewed very well.
It is. I was torn between whether or not I wanted to get Metroid or that. And then I got to the Call of Duty 4 beta, and that kind of scratched my multiplayer shooter itch. So that's why I went with Metroid instead. But I think it's definitely something I'll pick up eventually. I played the beta. I enjoyed it. I thought the motion controls for the Warhawks were a lot of fun. I mean, if you like the Battlefield-style kind of game, just a little faster paced, you'll probably like Warhawk.
Right.
And then if you can either download it for $40, or if you buy the retail pack for $60, you get a bunch of bonus video content on the disc, and it comes with a free Jabra Bluetooth headset for voice comm in the game.
Not bad.
Not at all. And then GameTap saw its usual new releases, the big one being Thief Deadly Shadows, which was the last Thief game made.
Nice.
Yeah, remember those games?
I played that demo. That was a good...
They were fun games.
Yeah.
So we've got that up there. And then there's Delta Force Extreme. Delta Force Task Force Dagger, Hospital Tycoon, Praetorians, and then a Commodore 64 game called Championship Wrestling.
Championship Wrestling?
Yeah.
Is it a licensed wrestling game, or is it just generic?
It's C64, so it's probably as generic as it gets.
Okay. Just making sure.
And that's our downloadable releases this week. So now that I know you can download this week, what can I buy next week, Mike?
All right, weekly releases for the week of September 2nd, 2007, in case you know you're listening to this in the future.
Ooh.
If, you know, in case anybody's studying this podcast to learn about our culture back in the day. Okay, first off, we got Medal of Honor Airborne 360 PC.
I played the demo for that. It was not bad.
I'm surprised it's coming out already.
Yeah,
it better come out before Call of Duty 4 does.
For a while.
Yeah,
seriously.
And Medal of Honor, you know, September 4th. Then Stranglehold, 360 PC, September 5th.
I like that demo a lot.
Well, it'll be coming pretty soon. PS3 is getting Lair on September 4th.
I was so looking forward to that game. I wanted it so bad, and apparently it's just not that good. Upsetting. I'll rent it still to check it out, but
I don't know. I mean, I guess sounds like Warhawk's a better choice right now.
Yeah, I mean, the promise of that game is what made me buy a PS3 in the first place, and then
out
that game sucks. Yeah, that was like the first game that I was like, well, that game's gonna come out in July. And, like, it was, like, June when I got my PS3, so I was like, well, I'll get my PS3 then. And then it got pushed back, and now apparently it sucks.
Yeah, you should have bought it for Metal Gear Solid 4 like I did. Then you can't be disappointed.
The only game I've ever bought on my PS3 was Calling All Cars.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Naruto Uzumaki Chronicles 2 for the PS2, September 4th. Wasn't there a Naruto game last week?
It's possible. I think one comes out every day.
All right. Well, there's a lot of Naruto fans. The Sims 2, Bon Voyage, PC, September 4th. Another expansion to the
another
Sims 2.
Another one. I lost track. They did, like, universities, and I just stopped caring after that.
I never cared, so, you know. Sherlock Holmes, The Awakened, PC, September 4th. Probably a bad... No, wait. GameSpot gave it an 8.3.
Oh,
maybe
fun.
It's okay. I don't know. Worms, Open Warfare, DS and PSP, September 4th.
Is that, like, classic Worms?
From what I understand, this is a sequel. I guess the first one wasn't that good. But this one might be better, because this one has online mode.
Oh.
So it has Wi-Fi, so it might be good. Who knows?
Cool.
We have Hour of Victory for the PC.
Oh, is that terrible World War II first-person shooter?
I'm not going to pass it. I haven't played it. It uses the Unreal 3 engine.
Oh, I played the demo for it. It's like, you play as three guys, each one has their own abilities. Like, the one guy, his ability is that he can jump and climb ladders.
Is he black?
No. He's the sniper.
Man.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah. Okay, Seven Kingdoms, Conquest, PC, September 3rd. I don't know much about that series.
I got nothing.
All right, if you love your Seven Kingdoms, there it is. For Wii, we have Pool Party, which includes 13 types of pool. That's a lot of types of pool, I have to admit. I'm impressed, actually.
So
I was all ready to make fun of Pool Party, but you know what? Good work, Pool Party.
So I guess I will have gone from Zelda to Paper Mario to Metroid to Super Mario Galaxy, huh?
Yeah. Well, you didn't get Resident Evil 4 for the Wii, which was awesome.
Yeah, but
I
played that game before, at least.
I played more of it than you did before, and I loved
the
Wii version. Okay, it was awesome. Best Wii game so far, honestly. And Capri, The Dream, for PC. Looks like a Myst ripoff. That's like 15 years too late. Legends of Norrath, Oathbound for the PC. September 4th. This is a collectible card game.
Really?
Yes.
I want Eye of Judgment.
Crazy Frog Racer, PS2. Well,
that sounds good.
This is a kart racer, I think, that is based off of a mobile mascot. Crazy Frog. Wow.
That's gotta be good.
Man. Let's move on. Panzer Killer. PC. September 3rd. Okay, we're not getting
so
much
many
better.
Quality games coming out this week.
I don't even know why I'm bothering. Panzer Killer. You Panzer Killer. You shoot tanks. God.
Get Warhawk and shoot tanks.
Oh, here's the last game. Do you think it's going to redeem things?
Probably not.
I notice these GameSpot lists usually have the better things on top. Hearts of Iron Anthology. This set includes all Hearts of Iron games, including the original Hearts of Iron, Hearts of Iron 2, Hearts of Iron Tomb Doomsday, and the Armageddon Booster Pack. What the hell is Hearts of Iron?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
That's all I got. God, I don't think I'm getting anything this week. I still have so much
I'm
to play.
Good.
All right. Best looking thing is probably Stranglehold or Medal of Honor Airborne.
Yep.
Well, that's it for that. And that's kind of it for the show then, isn't it?
It is. It is. So, before we go, as always, I want to remind our listeners that if you pick this, show up from the iTunes Music Store or some other random source, we have our blog, and you can get to it by going to explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Mike and I have been posting intermittently random things there. I talked about my viewing of the movie King of Kong, which is absolutely fantastic. Everyone should go see that. Mentioned some Call of Duty 4 stuff.
You wanted to talk about that on that podcast, but you kind of forgot, huh?
Yeah, I guess I could do that now. Basically,
no, let's get to it next week. We'll say something.
Next week? Try to see it next week, and we'll talk about
it. Yeah, I'll watch it, and we'll talk about it.
But in the meantime, go see this movie, everyone. It's great.
And if you got to us through 411, which I suspect a lot of our initial viewers have, I want to thank you for reading my column. Keep checking back. Hopefully we'll be more officially affiliated with that site soon. That's 411mania.com/games.
And if you're on Xbox Live, look for me in the Call of Duty 4 beta so I could shoot you in the face.
Are we going to play a little bit of that tonight still?
Yes, we are.
All right, sounds good. All right, I'm Mike, tokoto@gmail.com. He's adguy at adguy711@gmail.com. And we're really cool, and that's a wrap. Have a good week, everyone.
Ciao.